Done. Scripture memorization time. How many of you worked? Okay, no, wait. Before you put your hands up. You right there, Josh? Okay. How many of you honestly, legitimately, actually worked on your memory verse this week? Not just 5 minutes before church. Oh, I worked on my memory verse. Raise your hand if you honestly, legitimately worked on it. Okay, good. Way to go, Krista. I think I put pressure on her on Sunday. It's good. All right. We need a little more participation, though. It's good. Half of you are working on your memory verses. So, all of you who confidently raised your hand, which one of you wants to give it a shot tonight? All right, Brother Hickman. You shouldn't have confessed that.
Well, I'm
going to. Yeah. The Lord.
The Lord. There we go. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise thy mighty acts.
That's very, very good. You only had one small little word mixed up in the very beginning. But those verses we did last week, so it didn't count against you this time. You did the verses perfectly, the 3 and 4. That's good. Great job. Excellent. Anybody else? Okay, Nate. Great. Thanks for volunteering. Thought I saw his hand up. I really did. Come on, brother. He can give it a shot. Didn't I see you raise your hand just a second ago that you want to... So you don't even want... You just want to give it... You don't even want to give it a shot? You don't even want to just give it one shot? Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. I'm going to make him an example. All right, come on, somebody else. Okay, Mrs. Adams. One generation.
One generation shall.
Excellent. Very, very good. Thank you. That's good. Oh, Krista, did you raise? No, you didn't. I think you did. Did you really work on it? You want to give it a shot? Okay, that's fine. Anybody else? One more. Somebody, come on. Okay, go ahead.
Psalms 145:1-4. One generation shall praise thy works and shall declare thy mighty acts.
Perfect. Excellent. Well done. Good job. Now, there are principles that are just abounding in this scripture. And I want to encourage you, don't just memorize the scripture. It's good to do it. But don't just memorize it. Learn truth from it. And there's so much truth here. And this is practical truth. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That's a principle for every day. Parents, you have the responsibility to teach and train and constantly be teaching and constantly be training your children in the things of the Lord. One of the ways to do that is to declare the greatness of God to your kids. See, these are valuable, practical principles. And these are the things that we need to be gleaning as we are memorizing, be gleaning this truth. Amen? Amen. That's valuable, practical things that will help you in your everyday life. It's good. All right, take your Bibles. Oh, the next two verses, verses 5 and 6 for next week. Let's say it all together before we get to our Bible study, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Amen. So verses 5 and 6 will be for next week. And before you know it, Those of you who are diligently working at it are going to have the whole psalm memorized. That'll be a challenge. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 will be our text jumping off point, really, for tonight. Satan does not want God's people to glorify the Lord. We know this to be true. Amen? Therefore, he will try to usurp God's rightful place in the life of a saint of God by trying to trip us up or to dull our spiritual senses and lull us into a state of lethargy by which we can't truly and honestly worship the Lord. And if our spiritual senses are dead and our spiritual senses are dulled, we won't have the right heart in the right mindset for truly worshiping the Lord. And somehow, Satan wants to get his foot in the door of your life, of the child of God, so that you cannot magnify and worship the Lord like you should. And we're going to begin tonight talking about some things that hinder or keep us from real worship. We've talked a lot about what real worship is. And we've talked a lot about how we are to worship the Lord and the heart that needs to be there in order to truly worship the Lord. We've talked a lot about those things. But we need to look at it from the other side now and look at things that hinder us and keep us from truly worshiping the Lord. And that's what we're going to consider tonight. One of those ways or one of those things that hinder us and keep us from worshiping the Lord is found in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God in your life is something that will hinder you and keep you from truly worshiping and honoring the Lord in your life. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, we cannot worship the Lord because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers and leads our worship unto God. Remember we talked about that? How the Spirit needs to be in control and empowering and magnifying our worship unto the Lord. And if the Spirit of God is grieved, we can't truly worship the Lord. And that's a personal thing. There are some Christians who think that the Spirit of God is simply an influence in your life. Sort of like the wind. You know, you can feel the effects of wind, but you can't see the wind. You can see the effects of it, but you can't see it. And some people think like the Holy Spirit is that kind of an influence, where you can't really see it. You might be able to feel the effects of it in your life at times, but you can't really see it or see Him. Well, the Word of God ascribes characteristics to the Holy Spirit of God that go far beyond just a mere influence. He has a personality. He's a person. Part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. He's a person of God. And this is the reason for this admonition from the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians here that not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's not possible to grieve or vex just a mere influence. You can't grieve the wind. But the Spirit of God, the breath of the Spirit of God is the very heart of God Himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is a gracious, loving, tender personality. In fact, all of the attributes of God are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. And we can't go through them all, but let me give you just by way of introduction, just some of the things that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit of God. It's clear and undeniable teaching in the Scripture that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. We're told that the Holy Spirit has intelligence and knowledge. If you were to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, you'd see that. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. The Holy Spirit of God speaks and He guides. What do we find in Acts chapter 13? When the church at Antioch was sending out Paul and Barnabas, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." He speaks and He guides. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts chapter 21, verse 11, and so on. I wish we had the time to go and look at all of these. But the Scripture is full of examples. The Holy Spirit of God commands and appoints. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, we see the Spirit of God leading and commanding and appointing. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, what do we find there in that context? Preachers who are to feed the flock of God, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He has feelings. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. Remember in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira? Why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost? And the Spirit of God can be resisted. Look at Acts chapter 7 with me. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. He can be resisted. He can be blasphemed. The divine attributes such as omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence and holiness and eternalness and truth and wisdom, all ascribed to the Holy Spirit of God. And in the life of the believer, the Holy Spirit of God does a tremendous work regenerating in the life of the believer, indwelling 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He seals, He fills, He anoints, He guides, He teaches. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Anointing from the Holy Spirit of God, teaching, comforting, empowering for service, and so on. The Holy Spirit of God working in us is what enables us to live a victorious Christian life. And there is no such thing as a victorious Christian life without a day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, yielding to the Holy Spirit of God's control. Not only is the Christian life hard to live, would you say that's true? Would you say that's true? Is the Christian life hard to live? Why? Why? Somebody tell me. Because the flesh, constant battle in the flesh. Not only is the Christian life hard to live, but it's impossible to live without the Holy Spirit of God working in and through us. Without God's power. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? For without me ye can do nothing. The Spirit of God is a vital part of our worship unto the Lord. And when the Spirit of God is grieved because of elements or things in our lives, we can't truly worship God like we ought to. And according to this text, Ephesians 3, we have the admonition to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit. So, how is it that we grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, potentially there are many, many ways. We don't have the time to talk about them all or do an exhaustive study on it. But I want us to just look at a few practical things this evening, day-to-day things that we need to be mindful of, because if these things are prevalent and find their way into our lives, we grieve the Spirit of God constantly. And thereby we can't truly worship the Lord. And the first thing is actually found within this same text of Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Skip to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings tonight. Pray that you'd help me convey this truth from your word. Fill me with your spirit. Father, and may our response be pleasing to the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first way that I want to point out tonight that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God in our lives is by unholy or profitless talk, our speech. Unholy or profitless talk. The Bible says here in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That word communication is something, it's describing basically how we affect or influence other people. And communications that are not to the use of edifying, but have a corrupting influence, are a grief to the Spirit of God in your life. That word corrupt there, let no corrupt communication, actually means worthless or rotten. So in other words, don't let any worthless or rotten speech or communication come out of your mouth, because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And when conversations that we would have with people continually degenerate, there is little thought to obeying this injunction. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, usually, this sort of thing with, degenerating conversations doesn't happen with mature saints of God. Usually, it happens with young people who haven't had a lot of experience in the kinds of things that they talk about, especially young men, getting together and talking about this and talking about that. If the conversations that you guys have together continually start to degenerate and go downhill, and somebody tells a little joke and that reminds somebody of this, and they tell another one, and it gets worse and worse and worse, the Lord says, don't let any rotten or worthless communication come out of your mouth. You've got to be careful, guys, about the stuff you talk about. I know, because I are one of you. I was that way too. I understand how easy it is. Our speech and our communication needs to be a ministry of grace unto the hearers. Things that will build up and edify and promote godliness and provoke one another unto holy living. Why not, instead of talking about things that are worldly, fleshly, continually degenerating, why not talk about things that are spiritual? Why not talk about things that uplift the Lord? Why not get together and say, hey, you know what? Let me share with you what God has done for me today. I wanted to share this blessing with you, friend. I think too often, though, if we're put into that situation, all of a sudden we start to feel uncomfortable. Why should the child of God feel uncomfortable about edifying and blessing the Lord? Just a thought. Sometimes people have a real problem with always tearing others down. You know, you get in a group of people and you like to rip somebody and tear them down and make fun of them. And sometimes that's just to prop ourselves up and make ourselves feel better. Possible insecurities, I don't know. But sometimes that can be a real problem. Somebody challenged me with that one time. I always thought it was fun to get, with teenagers especially. When I was a youth director, it was fun to start. We had teen class every Saturday night. It was fun to take the first 10 minutes of class and just rip people to shreds. Make them feel like this big. Somebody challenged me on that once. Is that really building and edifying? Is that really strengthening and helping? Or is it cultivating a culture and a mindset? And I just stop and think about it. You know what? That's true. I understand a little joking around here and there, and that's fine. We can have a good time and we can joke around, but there needs to be balance, certainly. And it needs to be balanced with as much or more edification and building up. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to, you know, get some digs in and jab your friend because he did something stupid. Sometimes that's fun to do. Not so fun when it's turned back around on you. But it should be balanced with edification and uplifting. This is what the scriptures are teaching us. The use of the tongue is actually a very important issue with the Lord. Look with me at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You ever found that out to be true? You said one little thing, and maybe you didn't even intend for it to be hurtful, but that one little comment all of a sudden turned into a firestorm of problems. You ever had that happen? It's very important how we use our tongue. Let's keep reading. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The use of the tongue is actually an important issue with God. And it's a part of having and letting the Spirit of God have control in our lives. There's a connection here with the whole body and self-control if the tongue is under control. So let's make some more personal applications here. Dads, how do you speak to your children? Children are prone to accidents. Children are prone to naughtiness and mischief. Sometimes, Dad, you can get full of work and full of business, and your mind and, you know, and your concentration is all wrapped around this, and little Junior decides to go and do something. How do you respond to your kids? Do you snap at them? Or are you gentle and controlled by the Spirit of God? Husbands, wives, how do you respond to each other? It's real easy to be snippety between husband and wife. A little irritated that day, somebody makes a little comment, and bam, you just snap right back. And guess what? The fight is on. It's important how we use our tongue to be controlled by the Spirit of God in our speech. And I'm certainly not perfect. but I'm wanting the Lord to change me. How about texting? Yeah, some of you are like, that's a foreign language, doesn't apply. Texting is a form of communication. It's a form of speech. You know, you can say things in a text that you probably wouldn't say to somebody face to face for embarrassment. Possibly suggestive things that you'd be too embarrassed to say personally, but that leads to further suggestive things that only takes your mind to places it shouldn't go. Or you can say things behind the cover of a cell phone that you wouldn't necessarily say face to face. It shouldn't be. These things ought not so to be. And it's in the context of what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians 4 there again. He says, we're talking about communication, things that proceed out of your mouth. Verse 29 says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Same context. Guess what else this is in the context of? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. It's not of God. It's of the devil. Give no place to the devil. Have you ever noticed how your day is affected by carnal, fleshly responses or actions? You ever notice this? Maybe in the morning, you get up and you put your grumpy pants on that day instead of the ones you should be wearing, and you haven't had your coffee yet, and something irritates you, and all of a sudden, boom, you snap at your wife or your kids, and all of a sudden you're just in a bad mood, and the whole day is affected because of a fleshly carnal response. You ever noticed that? I have. It's not funny when it's time to go to church, and all of a sudden things are in an upheaval, and the whole way to church, husband and wife are nipping at each other and arguing. Don't you think that the devil wants to get his foot in the door and keep the Spirit of God from having full control and keep God's people from worshiping the Lord? Yeah, he does. And the use of our tongue is part of this equation. So vitally important. It grieves the Spirit of God if we're not under His control. It affects our spirit. It affects our ability to worship God. And if we're really under His control, then our responses will also be under His control. Amen? Unholy and profitless talk grieves the Spirit of God. The second thing is this: ignoring God's presence grieves the Spirit. Ignoring the Holy Spirit's presence grieves the Holy Spirit. Imagine for me, or with me, just for a second, if you never said one word to your spouse. You live with this person, you live in the same house, you never spoke a word one to another, or else you completely ignored your spouse, or your spouse completely ignored you. Some of you would be like, yeah, amen. I'm kidding. You wouldn't like that. It would be grievous to you if your spouse never said a word to you, always ignored you. Maybe ignoring you to the point where they're not really sure of even who this person is living in my house. I think that would be grievous. Would you be offended? And you're standing there saying, honey, it's really me. And like, who are you? What are you doing in my house? But sometimes that's how we treat the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, the Spirit of God is there. He indwells you. He lives there. But sometimes we grieve Him by our life, and we ignore Him so long that we never ever even recognize His voice when He's trying to speak. Let me ask you this question. Do you know the Holy Spirit of God's voice in your life? Do you recognize and discern when the Spirit of God is trying to speak to you? Because you're so familiar with Him that you know that voice. Understand what I mean? How many of you would say that this is true with you? You know the sound of your spouse's voice. So much so that you can be completely on the other end of the house and they could either cough or clear their throat and you know exactly who it is. That's true for me. I know every single one of my kids and the way they sound. And I can be completely on the other end of the house and I can hear one of them cough, I can hear one of them cry, I can hear one of them go, eh! And then I know it's time for spanking. I can hear one of them clear their throat. And I know exactly who it is. Because I'm close to them. Because I love them. That's how it ought to be with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, folks. We're that close to the Lord that we can discern and recognize the Spirit of God's voice when He's speaking. But if we ignore Him and ignore His presence, He is grieved. Should we not be that sensitive to the Spirit of God's voice? He's always trying to communicate with us and always trying to lead and direct and comfort and instruct and rebuke and exhort. If we've pushed Him aside or ignored Him and His convicting, you know what? We've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And continuing in that vein will result in not even acknowledging Him. He's not Lord of your life anymore. A lot of times we can do this when we lean on our own understanding. I got to have it my way. I'm making decisions. This is what I want. Oh, I don't need to go get advice. I don't need to go get counsel. I don't need to pray about this. Whatever decision it is. I know what to do. Just making decisions because that's what we want without asking if that's what the Lord would want grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Ignoring His presence grieves the Spirit. Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God's voice? Daily, are you submitted and surrendered? Lord, what do you want to do in my life today? Do you commit each day to the Lord? Maybe starting with your devotional time. Saying, Lord, I want you to control me today. I give myself to you. Lord, through your Spirit, would you lead and guide me? Give me opportunities to serve you. Control my tongue today. Control my attitudes today. Help me to be pleasing to you. Help me to be edifying. That's the kind of Spirit that we need. Yielding ourselves to His control. Here's another one. Another way that we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. By rejecting His teaching. By rejecting His teaching. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63 verse 7. This is the Lord talking to the nation of Israel. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindness. For He said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. And His love and His pity He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Rejecting, rebelling the leading of the Holy Spirit of God is what Israel did, and it vexed the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work in our lives, folks, trying to lead us into truth. Why? So that we might be sanctified, so that we might be more like Christ, to be fit to be used of God. But we grieve the Holy Spirit when we refuse to accept His teaching. Now somebody might say, well, I don't do that. I don't refuse to accept the teaching of the Spirit of God. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? Let me make an application. The Lord places the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. Would you say amen to that? Amen. The Holy Spirit of God places the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. He's also placed a shepherd over the flock who is to feed and guard and protect, taking the oversight. Acts 20, verse 28. So, now follow this. Could it be then that as the Lord leads the pastor in what and how he teaches biblical truth, that it means then that that is exactly what God wants you to hear? You following the line of thinking? The Spirit of God places the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. He's also set a shepherd over that flock to feed. And as the Spirit of God leads the pastor in how he teaches and preaches biblical truth, then that should tell us this is what God wants us to hear. All right? Ask yourself this question then. Do I hear things from this pulpit that I just don't like and I won't embrace? I hate it when subject X comes up. Ask yourself the question. Examine your own heart. Now let me ask you this question. What's your motive behind that? Why do you dislike it? Why do you hate it? Why won't you embrace it? Is it pride? Is it self-will because you just don't want to change some area of your life? Are you sure that you don't reject the teachings of the Spirit of God? It's just something to examine. And maybe the Spirit of God is simply trying to further sanctify you and make you more into the image of Christ. But you're pushing Him away because you don't have a surrendered heart. I don't want to change. I don't want to hear that subject. I don't like it when He talks about that. I don't like it when this comes up. And you make the application. Why? We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God from an unyielded, surrendered heart. We can also grieve the Holy Spirit of God by defeating the children of God. How do we do that? Well, unloving thinking leads to unloving speaking. This kind of disunity grieves the Holy Spirit, and whatever alienates the affections of God's people one from another is striving against the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the body. And the point is this, the way that we live and conduct ourselves influences other people around us. Are you with me? The way that you live, the way that I live, influences and affects other people around us. So the question is, and ask yourself this question, honestly, does your life or things in your life drag someone else down or edify and provoke unto godliness? Husbands, how do you speak to your wives? Do you speak harshly and say unkind things at times? Well, probably all of us do. But do you go back quickly and make it right when you do? You know, unkind and harsh words from a man to his wife, or even vice versa, but especially from a man to his wife, will most assuredly defeat her spirit and crush her. And that quickly grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You and your responses, men, affect your wives. It affects their spiritual life and their ability to grow. And the same is true, ladies. Your responses to your husbands are going to have an effect on him. Does it defeat him? Maybe, ladies, you have a husband who's really trying to do right. And it's hard for him, and he struggles, and you know it, and he's really trying, but you constantly keep beating him down. by not going along, by not supporting, by not helping? I don't know. Just throwing it out there. We can defeat the children of God. We can defeat others around us by our lifestyle. We certainly are not an island unto ourselves. And one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit of God is to bring oneness and bring unity to the body so as to better fulfill God's purpose through us. When we grieve the Holy Spirit of God by how we live, it hinders our ability to truly worship Him. Whether that's by our tongue, whether that's by our responses, whether that's by our actions, it hinders our ability to worship the Lord. And ultimately, we impoverish ourselves, folks. That's really what it comes down to. We impoverish ourselves. We stunt our own growth. We rob ourselves of our ability to give God glory. We rob ourselves of God's best and His blessings. So I would challenge you tonight in closing. Examine your own life. Be determined. I'm going to be sensitive and responsive to the Holy Spirit of God, yielding myself to Him, always willing to examine and re-examine every motive and yield to Him. Because grieving the Holy Spirit of God by the way we live, the way we speak, hinders us and keeps us from worshiping the Lord like we should. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this truth. I pray that You'd help us to live lives surrendered and yielded to Your Holy Spirit. Father, and every day, to begin the day with the heart and the mindset, Lord, I give You my life today. Would You control me? Would You help me to speak edifying things? Would You control my responses and my reactions? And Father, to have that heart and that mindset about us, to not grieve Your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that You bless these truths in our hearts and our minds. May we be responsive to it and open and yielded for the glory and honor of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your attention. Good to be with you tonight. Take these home with you. Amen. These are practical, everyday applications. And I know that the Lord will bless your life if you do. Amen. Have a good second half of the week. Lord bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. You are dismissed.